I'm Heather Warburton. I'm the host of our... Brian's not ready, but we're going anyway. Well, I don't care that Brian's not ready. I'm ready, and I'm starting. Yes, the podcast has been recording.
Oh, music, and we're fancy. Okay.
No music?
Oh, you're doing music now?
Well, yeah.
This is... It's not. Welcome to New Jersey Revolution Radio.
Now you can start the show.
Okay. Hi, everybody. We're New Jersey Revolution Radio. Thank you guys for coming. Welcome to the show. My name's Heather, and I'm the host of our Monday show, Wine, Women, and Revolution. To my left here...
Hi, I'm Brian Powers, and I work on New Jersey Revolution Radio Live with Diane Moxley.
And speaking of Diane...
Hello, yes, and I am the Wednesday evening live stream.
And together, we're New Jersey Revolution Radio.
That's right.
Before we get into the topic, I'd like to ask any of you that have your phones with you, if you can go to our Facebook page and find the live stream. We are live streaming. If you could share that out, that would really help us a lot, help us get more viewers and listeners, and we really appreciate it. So we're excited to be here. We're kind of on foreign soil. We're leaving the great nation of New Jersey to be here.
The air is weird.
Sort of ambassadors, as you will.
Yes.
So for anyone who doesn't know who we are, we started this because we're all activists. And the mainstream media does not like to cover activists, especially on the left. So since no one was covering us, we kind of just decided to do it ourselves, sitting up here with two amazing activists that I really admire. And speaking of activism, what have you been up to this week, Brian?
A lot. So what we do on New Jersey Revolution Radio Live, for those of you that may not have heard the show yet, is we spend a little time going around the state looking primarily to Facebook and social media feeds to find out what's going on, what activists are doing, what protests are going on, and we have some discussion about that. We do our best to cover as much as we can, but there's always more going on than we can cover. So we don't mean to leave anybody out, but we have been focusing on a few things around the state. And of course, the first one would be justice for Jameik. Jameik Lowry is a man who was killed by police. Everybody knows he was killed by the police, but we don't have specific details on it. There's an autopsy report that has not been released to the family. You know, the public statements given by elected officials are pathetic and weak and really have no details to them. So we're not really getting any justice for the family. So we are going to be at Patterson City Hall. That's going to be this Tuesday, July 23rd at 7 p.m. We ask that if you can make it personally, great. But even if you can't make it, we can always share information. The event is on our Facebook page. And supporting these kinds of events are really important because that's our base of support. We don't get corporate donations. We don't get, we don't get establishment support. So grassroots activists out there with a cell phone live streaming is really the heart of what we do and how we kind of start to report on stories that are going around. I guess the other thing we're following right now is the ICE demonstrations, which clearly the situation is getting more dire, more urgent. We had a conversation with an activist that was at a protest, and we recently saw a report on this Lights for Liberty organization. The one person who wasn't a white person basically quit as they tried to declare nonprofit status. We've all seen this before. We've seen people not directly affected by policy or who see themselves as some kind of savior coming in and trying to dictate the circumstances to people who are directly affected. And it's not a model that's activism or anything. It's really just establishment figures trying to fundraise so they can have a job talking to power. And, and you wind up with messages like the one, you know, that we heard at the ICE protest the other day. You know, which I don't think is the right one.
Thank you, Phil Murphy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Phil Murphy. Thank you so much. I'm not thanking Phil Murphy for passing a law that makes me spend $1,500 a month on medicine. I'm a medicinal marijuana patient. I'm not thanking Phil Murphy for passing a solitary confinement law that fell well short of what activists saw, saw and people who have been in solitary confinement have experienced, mm-hmm. they thought it should have been stronger. I'm not thanking Phil Murphy for doing half-assed measures because the nonprofit complex wants to maintain a friendly relationship with mm-hmm. them. If Phil Murphy starts passing things that meet the material needs of the working class, the poor and the oppressed, I will thank Phil Murphy every day. But you will not hear this out of me.
Thank you, Phil Murphy. Thank you so much.
You're not going to hear thank you, Phil Murphy. Thank you so much at any rallies that I'm at. And if you do say that at a rally I'm at, you're going to have a conversation with me about why you're thanking Phil Murphy. That's what we're going on right now. We're trying to build that revolutionary spirit. We're trying to make sure that people aren't getting roped into the establishment, mm-hmm. the liberal traps, the activism traps that I've gotten pulled into in the past. We all have. Yeah, we're trying to warn activists. Get with your people. Get with the community that you want, that you're a part of, that you want to serve, and work with them in a democratic fashion. Stop feeding the machine. That's all I'm asking.
All right. And what about you, Diane? What have you been up to the past week or so?
Well, I'm still working and assisting with Extinction Rebellion in New York and New Jersey. So let's see. For Extinction Rebellion, New York City, there's going to be actions up until this moment, but there is going to be a great, beautiful action in the early fall. So you should plug in now at xrr.nyc. But something really exciting is that Extinction Rebellion New Jersey is really, really growing. And can't say what yet, but I'm going to tell you, you should plug in because we are going to have, I'd say there's going to be an action in collaboration with another great org in North Jersey. So plug in awesome. Now.
And there's a Facebook page
yes.
for Extinction Rebellion New Jersey?
Jersey, yes. So you go to Extinction Rebellion.
We're all 40-year-old organizers. Where the hell else are we going to be? I'm sorry.
Plug in at Extinction Rebellion New Jersey. There's also an accompanying discussion group. So request to join that. And as I've joked, if you're an establishment Democrat, please don't request to join. We don't need your watered-down, fracking-loving... what is the other thing? The carbon tax.
Carbon tax.
To make
yes.
y'all feel good. We don't need that.
The rich people can pollute. We're just going to charge poor people for
more rent. We don't need that here. So if that's your way of dealing with climate chaos, please don't join. Also, with New Jersey Greens, we've been getting ready for the Green Party National Meeting, which is
yeah.
in Salem.
Yes,
I just
legal
had
weed
a
and
phone
witches.
Call today.
That's
because I'm
awesome.
That's
legal
right.
weed and witches. I'm going to get
right.
stoned
four
and wander
days.
Around with crystals up my butt.
Yeah,
it's going to be awesome.
4 days of legal weed for Brian. That should be fun. We're all
he's sharing. Not even going to the national meeting. He's just there for the weed.
No, I can get that here. I'm going to bring it.
Oh, okay.
I'll stop by Weedman.
So a bunch of us are sharing a house because that's with the New Jersey. And we have at least one New York Green with us. I'm so excited. Oh, and I think we have two Maryland Greens joining us.
Awesome.
We have random people.
And one ghost.
One ghost.
And yes. We have a ghost, so I'm excited. I get the ghost room. And for anybody in the area, it's in Salem, Mass. So
yep.
you can enjoy some free weed with Brian.
That's it. There's some good
also,
political work going on, too.
Yeah, there's great speakers. We have Ajamu Baraka. We have wonderful workshops. On Saturday evening, there's a fundraiser with Lee Camp from Redacted Tonight. And I hear some rumors about some other exciting speakers. So keep tuned
cool.
in. And you should come out. It's July 25th to the 28th. I'm going to plug something else also that I've been working on and organizing with. It's called March on the Pentagon. That was the Women's March on the Pentagon in October of 2018. We are doing an action that's called Rage Against the War Machine. And that is October 11th and October 12th. It's a Friday and Saturday of Indigenous Peoples Day weekend. And you can get more information for that on marchonthepentagon.com. Actually, it's March on Pentagon, no the. And yeah, let's continue to get our actions out because as Brian was talking about, we don't need any watered down, co-opted... professional activist watering down our messaging. And that's why we need all your help and support, because we're the real deal. And we know that all of you who support us are also the real deal. So thank you.
I got to go yell at some people that were trying to water down some policy this week. It was my fun excitement for the week. I went to my local freeholder, and you guys don't have freeholders in Pennsylvania, right? That's kind of like a county committee.
It's probably
but
a
it's
good
like
thing.
The most like racist way of saying it, because it's originally it was based off of free people who owned land, and they just kept that term.
Good point.
Yeah, that's awesome. But anyway, I got to go yell at my local freeholders. I had taken an off fossil fuels measure to them to pass, and they watered it down, and then failed to pass that. So I got to go out to the local freeholder meeting and yell at them, and people were trying to exclude other people, and it was all very shady, and Atlantic County politics is definitely an odd thing. And while I was there, I learned that in Summers Point, they are trying to pass an anti-sanctuary city measure. Anti-sanctuary city.
Wow.
A woman came there to speak about how she supported Trump and was very excited about this. This was my local politics that I... So now I guess we're going to be organizing something to oppose Summers Point passing their anti-sanctuary.
What is it called?
Summers Point's a city, though, right?
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So they want to pass a city resolution?
Well, they want Phil Murphy to pass a state resolution, and they're trying to pass a city resolution of being a non-sanctuary city. So look forward to... look forward to some coming opposition from us opposing their anti-sanctuary city legislation. I'm assuming we'll be showing up there in Summers Point and... of expressing that we disagree with their racism there.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, they're not doing a very good job in the sanctuary cities they got now. It seems purely symbolic to me, because every day I see reports of ICE activity in New Brunswick, which is supposedly a sanctuary city, in Newark, which is supposedly a sanctuary city. Not cooperating and actually opposing ICE is two different things. And I think what you're seeing in even in sanctuary cities is a very half-hearted effort to not cooperate with ICE.
It's more of that watering down again, that no one will actually take a stand and say, we're not going to work with ICE.
You're not cooperating.
ICE is the modern
people,
day Gestapo.
But you're standing by while they're kidnapping children and tearing apart families. And that's just, you know, not taking action. Inaction is as bad as cooperation in my mind.
And so, talking about ICE, but we want to invite up our next set of guests here. We have Janaya and Santiago from Philly Socialists, who are going to be joining us up here. Let's give them a hand while they go. Oh, I get my theme music now.
Everybody's going to get their theme music played today. Here we go. Professional operation.
So first off, welcome. Thanks for joining us here today. Who'd like to take the first question of what exactly is Philly Socialists?
Philly Socialists is, to put it simply, it's a local grassroots organization started as a big tent socialist organization. So we don't explicitly adhere to any one particular socialist school of thought over the others. It's to advance the cause of a militant, nonviolent mass movement promoting the cause of socialism in Philadelphia.
And since we were just talking about ICE, last year you guys organized a major...
It was quite a few orgs. I think there was some people like from Philly Socialists, but I don't remember all of the other like partnering people.
Yeah, so it was very much a team effort, but we're very proud to have been a part of that.
And how many days did you occupy that facility?
Oh my gosh.
It was several days at least.
Yeah, it definitely like blurs together when you like decide that you're gonna occupy something. Right? Like, I feel like I don't even know when I, like, started out there and, like, when I really left, it felt like I was, like, just, like, taking small breaks and, like, going home to get, like, things and then coming back immediately.
And obviously the police eventually came through and destroyed all the camps there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went through in a line, like, the bike cops, essentially, and they, like, I don't want to say bulldozer because they didn't have bulldozer, but they pretty much just trampled everything.
I was going to say, I think the phrase that was being used by even Philly media was bike-dozed. I think the headline I saw the day after was Mayor Kenny bike dosed his relationship with progressives.
And I did see the video, and literally, like, they had their bikes like end to end and were just walking over tents and smashing the water, and it was pretty aggressive. But,
like, using them as barricades.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
as like the front of a bulldozer. Wow.
But if you want to read something more in depth about it, The Partisan, our quarterly journal, has an article with all the organizers talking quite a bit in detail about how they decided and how, like, they were, how they made the decision to occupy and how it was going to roll out. So I was written by one of our good friends and comrades, Susie Subways.
Oh, very cool. And that's online, you can get that?
Or? Yeah.
Okay. Yes, yeah.
But now, you were just telling me earlier today, you have people occupying the Housing Authority building, right?
So we don't personally have people at the Housing Authority. Somebody who's affected by PHA's not amazing policies decided they were going to occupy outside of the PHA building, I think, 90 days ago. So they've been there for the last 3 months. So as y'all know, it's 101 degrees in the shade today.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to their Facebook page, Occupy PHA, they're looking for support monetarily, so they can, I think, buy snacks, and like they're planning some direct action like toward PHA. If you want to support them, that would be the best way.
And let's talk a little bit more about what PHA is. That's the Philadelphia Housing Authority, and they've been trying to evict people from public housing, essentially.
Yeah. And I think that's what they're really protesting about, is like, I think PHA really hasn't been doing a good job at maintaining the houses that people do live in and evicting people, like, unjustly. Their Facebook page is Occupy, like, PHA. Like, and if you look it up, like, their posts are pretty in detail about it.
And how many people are there?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
But at least there's some people that have been directly affected by these raising rates at PHA and trying to push people out are there. So it's a very grassroots sort of...
Definitely.
You have an English as a Second Language program that you organize?
Yes, yeah. So we have free ESL courses that we offer to anyone who wants to attend them, available in West Philly and... Should I plug the location?
Yeah.
It's at the it's available at the Lucian Blackwell Library, usually on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Times may change, but usually around 4:30, I believe. And it's, again, just like all of our other projects, it's done entirely through volunteer action by comrades supporting one another, and it's very good work. Very happy to have helped out on that.
And do you generally have quite a few people that show up for that?
The class sizes can vary a little bit. Whenever I go, the classes are usually around like 10 to 15 people, and we usually have about a 1-to-1 ratio of students to like volunteer teachers. So we're usually able to get everyone the individual attention that they need.
That's great, yeah. And I know you specifically wanted to mention your crowdfunding project that you're working on.
So I know that this is like the least sexy thing to talk about, like, ever. But the revolution has to be funded somehow. So Philly Socialists runs a crowdfunder every year, like for the duration of the summer. And you can find us on Chuffed if you look up our campaign. It's called Serve the People, Fight the Power, Donate to Philly Socialists. And it kind of explains all of our projects in detail and lets people know exactly what we've been doing and exactly what their money will go to. So on that page, I talk about, like, I was going to say, if you look up Philly Socialists on Chuffed, it's me. So I talk about all of our projects and what we have going on, but I also talk about what our goals are for the coming year and what we're going to spend the money on. So this year, our goal is to have an organizer school. So we'll be teaching people about our model and what goes into doing this grassroots work, and we'll help them learn, but also deepen our ties locally and in that process.
Yeah, I think I want to come to that for sure.
Can I just ask you, for, you know, because this is being recorded by live stream and podcast, Could you just give us a little more info on how people can plug into that funding source, the platform?
Oh, Chuffed.
What it's at? Yeah. What is the website they would go to?
Oh, yeah. So the website is called chuffed.org. So it's chuffed.org. And you can look up Philly Socialists. I'm not sure if like the URL offhand. But
chuffed
.org. Yeah.
And then if you search Philly Socialists.
Yeah, our most current campaign will come up. It's like I said before, the one called Serve the People, Fight the Power, Donate to Philly Socialists. So our goal is $35,000. And that helps us maintain our office space that we use for meetings. It helps us pay for meetings in other parts of the city in accessible spaces, which is incredibly hard to maintain. I don't know if you've ever tried in such an old city like Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. It also helps us get food and childcare at all of our meetings, because in our opinion, a really big bridge to accessibility. I think Santi can attest to this. Like, I don't think I've been at a Philly Socialist meeting in the year and a half that I've been a member without childcare and food.
Oh, absolutely.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's really an accessibility issue that many people can't afford childcare. So that's great that you have that. Did you have another question, Diane?
I wanted to talk to you about, you do work with tenant organizing and a tenants union. Is that correct?
I do.
Okay. Is that through Philly Socialist or is that through another org?
So the Tenants Union is an offshoot of Philly Socialists. Like, it's a project that formed out of Philly Socialists, like our garden, like all of the other things that we do. Okay. But now it's become like its own independent organization, kind of. So I'm an arbiter for the Tenants Union. So that being an arbiter is like, so I function as primarily the union's conflict resolution mechanism. So if there's like a problem that arises, I help people solve it. But I also maintain healthy meeting spaces. So like having that childcare, having pizza, but making sure people follow ground rules and know that, like, you know, I want everybody to be heard. Clearly, like, none of us are going to talk over each other. We're going to respect each other. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many different people coming from so many different places to be in this room. So being like an arbiter just helps the room function as it is, I guess. But I think our next big campaign is whisper, rent control. People are talking about how to do that next.
Good, good. Is there no rent control in Philly? Or there's
no
rent control in Philly?
God, I wish.
That's insane. Yeah. Wow. You know, I went to law school in New York City, and I did legal services work in Newark for over 14 years. And I just didn't think a city could actually not have rent control.
No,
that's mind blowing.
So like,
wow.
So like, Santi, you, I was gonna say, like, haven't you had issues with your house? Like pretty constantly. And that's what we run into with the tenants union. Like, even me, I've had issues with my house pretty constantly. And like, my landlord is unresponsive and weird and bad.
at the risk of our landlords hearing about this and getting mad at us. My house that I live in right now was a hovel when I moved into it, and we've had to kind of fix it up ourselves from scratch. So,
yeah.
Wow. And then not having rent control, you could have a landlord who's going to, you know, take retribution out on you if you file complaints or if you withhold rent. Yeah. You might not.
I think my lease itself is something ridiculous, like, oh, like, you can't, you're not allowed to report any of the problems, like to a city agency.
I'm going to have to look at your your landlord-tenant laws in Philly. Wow.
Yeah, no, like,
because in many states, it's not allowed. You know, you can't, you're not allowed to put those things in a lease.
No,
but if you don't have,
it is I knew it was
might be
illegal.
Allowed. Like, oh, it is illegal.
Yeah,
but
I was like, this is full of, for lack of a better word, crap.
Wow.
Like, he's a ridiculous guy.
And I wanted to ask you, what services can the people access in Philly for tenants issues?
So, like, we help people get connected to, like, city agencies that might help them.
Okay.
So, like, we've helped people get connected to community legal services. We've helped people report their problems to LNI, but we've also done collective like action against people's landlords. So like,
okay,
I know a lot of people who've like stood outside a landlord's house and just asked them why they're doing what they're doing. Okay. Like, I'm gonna stand out here until you tell me why. Like, okay. Because I wanna know.
Great. Real grassroots organizing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you actually had some victories with one building, right? That
yeah.
You were demanding that people were able to move their stuff, not just to be evicted right away.
Yeah. So last year we spent a lot of time in Admiral and Dorset Court, mm-hmm. Building in West Philly. People were like, the landlord, like, you put up fake eviction notices. And then people called us, like, they were like, so what do we do? Like,
they may call you before legal services.
Yeah, because, like, people hear about us because we put flyers up all the time, like, have landlord-tenant problems? Call us, like.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Excellent, because you can't have enough in that area.
Yeah. So, like, we're, like, really hoping to achieve in that situation. Like, we didn't feel like we would, like, win against like a giant guy who like had so many like properties and is doing this all over the city. We just wanted the people to be able to leave with dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of what we did last year was just trying to make sure that could happen. And I think that's unfortunately some of the situations that we find ourselves in, trying to make sure people can leave with dignity, because we can't stop an eviction or like,
oh, you might be able to.
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk.
I was going to say, if you ever want to do, like, legal stuff for Philly Socialists or the tenants
union, I might be able to at least give you some guidance and try to find people that you can connect to in that area so we could talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's, you know, there is, you know, you have to make sure there's some kind of viable eviction defense going on in Philly, and you guys can make sure you can connect the people. Because I don't care if it's a big landlord with, you know, thousands of properties, you gotta get the tenant law to the people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our convention.
Sometimes you can argue as self-represented and prevail.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of what we do is, like, even going to landlord-tenant court with people, like, has helped folks in the past, like, because people, like, go to landlord-tenant court alone, and then, like, that it's like they end up in like a situation where it's like they don't know what to say and it's like a default judgment.
Yeah.
So then like
give them some tools.
Yeah. So like we'll like, I always like joke around, like, I've like been to landlord-tenant court with like a group of 30 people for one person. So we like roll in like squad deep and be like, okay, so like
good.
All right. Well, that's great. Maybe for one more question. Do you have any question? A quick question, Brian? Or?
Yeah, I guess I heard about Philly Socialists a couple of years ago when they first started organizing, and right away they made a splash. Because we discussed outside before the show a little bit. Silk City Socialists have gotten inspiration and back and forth. I've seen these networks.
We've made a splash.
You got. I mean, it's been huge, and I keep hearing bigger and bigger and better things being accomplished. So it's really impressive, and I thank you for the hard work.
Thank you very much.
How have you kept people engaged? How have you brought new people? And is it just simply through these efforts, or is there active recruiting on your part to bring people new talent?
Your question.
It's a constant active effort through our part. One of the things that actually drew me to Philly Socialists was how actively engaged they were all the time at every level of the organization in meeting people and hearing their stories and trying to genuinely, not to go back to the catchphrase, serve the people.
Fight the power.
Yeah. at every level. So we're constantly at, you know, at festivals. We're like posting flyers up on busy locations. We're tabling wherever we can. So we're pretty much every week, depending on where you are in the city, you may see one of us, and we might get the chance to talk to you.
Yeah. It's fantastic work. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, it really
on.
Is. Really.
We see you all the time.
Thank you guys so much.
We do.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for joining us here today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's been great talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Everyone, give them a round of applause. And also, let's keep that round of applause going for our next guest, who is coming up here. Mr. Daryl Lamont Jenkins is joining us. Organize later, Diane. Okay. We're doing a show.
I'll find you.
It's a live
show. Yeah.
All right.
We're always working.
Yes, we're, as like I said, we're activists. We never stop activisting. Even when we're doing a live show, we're still organized.
My attitude is organizing the boys of vacuum, so let's just...
All right, so this is our next guest here, Daryl Lamont Jenkins. Does anyone here not know who Daryl Lamont Jenkins is?
Never heard of him. Some of our viewers but some of our viewers who are just tuning into our show, and because we have this platform at Philly Pop Fest, we know all that's wonderful about Daryl, but everybody else might not.
Yeah,
so
but nobody
we're gonna
raised
have
their
to,
hand, so I'm... really, so, I mean, it's very rare that if somebody asks that question, that you don't have at least most of the room just go, hey, what the hell is he? Why is he on the mic? Why should I care? But that's changing now. So,
yeah.
So I want to thank everybody for caring.
Well, I think, you know, being an Academy Award winner will do that for you.
Yeah, well, let's be fair. I produced a short film that won the Academy Award this year. It's called Skin. And this week I am going crazy doing promotions for the feature film of the same name, which is a totally different story. If you saw the short film, it's gonna stars Jamie Bell as Brian Widener, who was a former neo-Nazi who wanted to get out of the scene, and I helped him along. It's based on a true story. Mike Coulter, who plays Luke Cage, he's playing me, and also Vera Farmiga's in it. Danielle McDonald, you might know Danielle McDonald from Patty Cakes, Dumplin'. What's the latest one? Oh, Bird Box. And she plays Olivia in Bird Box.
Okay,
and,
cool.
And a whole host of others, and Bill Camp. I can go on forever, but it's going to be a good movie. It comes out July 26th, and you're going to just see a whole bunch of people talking about it over the next week or so. So that's where I'm at today. I am going Hollywood all week. And if
so
I goes
lucky.
Hollywood, baby.
We're so lucky that you have a moment to be with us,
oh,
right?
Yeah, but
so
very
busy.
Much so a moment. As soon as I get off this mic, I gotta go back home to get ready for the limo. That's how this is rolling. I gotta get dressed. Well, actually, no, I don't have to go until tomorrow morning.
But you gotta get ready.
I just gotta get ready, and I'm doing press like.
I gotta pull Heather in a rickshaw back to Borden.
But what I think is fascinating to me is I love hearing you tell your story of how you got involved in this. I called it your origin story earlier, like you're a super, you know, like you should be wearing a cape. But could you share that with everybody?
Yes, I was at a science lab one day. I was bitten by an Antifa spider.
Like X-Men origins.
A red and black spider.
The rest is history. Unlike Spider-Man, I've always had the black suit. No, seriously, what happened was basically, I'm born in 1968. I was born a couple of months before, after Martin Luther King was killed. I was born July 22nd, 1968. Tomorrow is my birthday.
All right.
So, happy birthday.
And I'm going to be doing press all day tomorrow.
Wow. So,
but no, anyway, you know, ever since I was a kid, you know, you're basically born after everything happened. After everything happened with the Civil Rights Movement and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And my father and my mother, they raised us in the suburbs, so we missed all the inner city drama that you had to deal with back then. I was born in Newark. Mm-hmm. My father got us out of there immediately because there was just too much drama to raise a kid in. So, you know, you really do want to have your kids lead a boring life. You want to raise your kids boring so that they don't have to go through all the drama that maybe you would have gone through. And that's exactly what happened to me. So, you know, I'm wondering, I see all this stuff going on in history. My parents are educators, the parents are teachers, and my father was really hardcore about history and stuff like that. My mother was really hardcore about religion, so I'm a Christian, so be it. And, you know, I was curious as to what happened to all those people that wanted to kick our behind just 10 years before. They all just like disappeared. There was no more racism, apparently. Mm-hmm. And then you look in your weekly reader or whatever, and you find out that, the Klan still exists. And there's some guy named Bill Wilkinson, that was the big Klan leader back in the 70s, who's running around with submachine guns talking about he's gonna kill black people. So, you know, I got curious. And then when I joined the military and I started seeing things like the Oprah Winfrey Show spotlighting this new group called skinheads, and they were, if you know anything about skinhead culture, they weren't skinheads, you learn that later. That really piqued my interest, so I just started documenting them from there. So this has been a 30-year thing with me. One People's Project started in 2000 when there was a white supremacist rally in, in Morristown, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Wanted to basically help people along in trying to deal with that, and we did that by setting up a website, which was basically unheard of back then. And then afterwards, we just kept it going. We just kept on documenting all the white supremacists that we come across, to the point that we're pretty much a go-to resource now in regards to that. In fact, we was just talking about the Occupy ICE efforts, and we had some of our New Jersey Nazis come down here to harass the folks at Occupy ICE. A guy named Ron Sheehy, another dude named Dan DeAmbly, and both of them were in Charlottesville. So you know how nasty they can probably get. So we made sure people knew who they were.
And that's terrifying that they live in New Jersey.
More than that.
New Jersey is this, you know, blue state.
Well, thanks to Daryl's work, though, and thanks to, you know, he first off brought this to, you know, the public's attention through IDVox, the One People's Project media arm. I saw it. I reported it on New Jersey Revolution Radio, and we put it out on a podcast. And then we actually, through that network, we got information that these dickwads were going into congressional offices, and we have a picture of one of these boneheads in Tom Malinowski's office. Yeah. And now I don't purport that Tom Malinowski has any official dealings with this idiot. He may have just showed up and been harassing. Right. But the fact is, you've got a couple of Nazis running around New Jersey trying to have political influence. And it's, you know, thanks to One People's Project and the work of Daryl that we're able to alert the community, the presidents. Yeah. It's just dangerous kind of activity.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's really important for Jersey to recognize it, because, you know, New Jersey's right-wingers are afraid of their own shadow. They do not like coming out into the open because they know that New Jersey, never mind what the Democrats would do, they got to deal with us. They got to deal with us, the general public, the leftists, or people who just simply don't like Nazis. Because we have ways of handling that. And they know we have ways of handling that. So they try to keep their heads down. So when they do pop up like Ron Sheehy and DeAmbly does, then the mission is to make their lives miserable. And the thing about Sheehy, and this is no reflection on his union, but he's a union guy.
Yeah.
So now we have to deal with that as well. We have to deal with folks who want to exploit their membership in the union to advance themselves further, never mind the fact that unions are not about their nonsense. And hell, if you're a Nazi, if you're in a union and you're a Nazi, you're trying to destroy that union. I mean, because that's what Nazis do to unions. So it's important that people recognize that.
And they exist.
They exist. They're here.
They're in the unions. They're in the police departments. They're in, you know, they're around and they're working, you know, to gain real power.
It was through Daryl's work that I learned that there's a union statue in Atlantic City commemorating a Nazi. His name, he started the Atlantic City Skins, and his name is on a memorial statue in Kennedy Park in Atlantic City.
Yeah,
tell him how he died, because that's funny.
Yeah.
Well, his name is Brian Bradley. Well, his name was Brian Bradley, and he was working, what was the name of that? It's not the name.
It was the Borgata, wasn't it?
It wasn't the Borgata. It was being built at the time.
The other one.
It begins with an R.
Revel.
Okay.
It was the Revel Casino, and he got struck by lightning. And he was one of the founders of...
And you're a Christian man.
Yes. As a Christian, I just looked at it as God saying,
I'm agnostic, I'll let you.
Yeah, that almost makes me a Christian. Definitely some karma there.
So, you know, he was one of the founders.
All right, good. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, thank you, Jesus. But in any case, you know, it was he was a founder of the Atlantic City Skins, one of the most violent groups that Jersey offered when it came to neo-Nazis. They have killed people. For some strange, ungodly reason, they can't seem to understand why there is something wrong with his name being on a monument dedicated to fallen workers.
Yeah.
It's unconscionable to me. I mean, I'm sorry, but yeah, you want to pay tribute to all of our fallen workers, but some fallen workers do not deserve that honor. And his name is still on there. And maybe we should just keep talking about it and they will remove it eventually. So yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think we should keep that momentum going.
Yeah, we always have to keep talking about it, because these are people that want to hide in the shadows, and we all need to shine a great big spotlight on them whenever we can.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we also need to talk about shining a spotlight on you. You have an event coming up in Philly in a couple weeks,
yes,
right?
Yes, I believe it is. We have a fundraiser coming up on August 17th.
That's right.
It's just to raise money for One People's Project. We might be showing the short film, Skin, on that day. Hopefully, I don't think there'll be a problem putting it out there.
Oh, boy.
It's on YouTube now. But after that, we'll be talking about the efforts of One People's Project and what it is we're doing. Bottom line is, we need money. We need to generate a lot of funds, because there's a lot of things that we want to do. We need writers. We need to pay writers. We need to travel. We need to send our writers out. Mm-hmm. We need to maintain. We got a new office this year, so we want to try to maintain that office. We want to be more viable than we have been over the past 20 years. Next year is going to be our 20th anniversary. So, you know, now we're at that point with me doing all the stuff that I'm doing in Hollywood and in the media, and people getting a little bit of more of a notice of us. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we deliver the goods now, for real. And we don't want to leave any stones unturned. So now we're out there asking people to help us out. And if you can't come to the event, there's always ways you can donate to us via our website. We have PayPal, we have Stripe, we have
GoFundMe up there. Yeah.
Venmo, Ray, we got check. Cash App. Well, maybe we don't have those things, but
Ray check. You could give
Darryl. But there's links on the website.
Or you could just send us a check via the mail or well-concealed cash. I don't care. The fact of the matter is, we really want to try to get ourselves really off the ground. To be honest with you, my mission in life, the totality of One People's Project mission, I want a community center somewhere in New Jersey, probably in Plainfield, New Brunswick, or something like that. I want to build that up. I went to Detroit a couple of weeks ago, and I went to the Jewish community center there. Now, when I went to this community center, I was expecting, you know, like maybe an auditorium and a gym. Maybe a pool. This place was a freaking complex. And I was just like, I can do that. We can use that in New Jersey. So why can't we build? I mean, I think it'll be something that'll be great for the community. And I know my town of Somerset, they used to have things like that, and they're trying to build it back up. I'm going to be a part of whatever they're doing up in Franklin. Right. And but I think that there's a need. There's a need to... for that in our communities, that and I think people will appreciate it if I can get that going.
Yeah.
But hopefully people will make it to the event, too.
Yes.
You know, the event is the 17th. It's at the Wooden Shoe Bookstore.
Yes.
Wooden
which is
Shoe
on,
Books and Records.
And it's on South Street right here in Philly. It'll be a great event. Hopefully we'll raise a lot of money for Darryl. Get to watch a film, hang out with Darryl. He can tell you about Nazis in your neighborhood. Mm. You know.
Yes. Oh, yes. Bear in mind.
Track Nazis.
Bear in mind, yeah, because here's the thing about, I spent a good 10 years here in Philly. I mean, One People's Project is known for being based in Philly.
Okay.
So there's a lot of Nazis in our neighborhood or in these neighborhoods. And we chased a few out, but there were some really interesting situations that have gone on in Philadelphia, like the time that the Klan tried to sneak in and have a quick rally and split out of here. Unfortunately, one of their Klan guys was one of my snitches and told us about it. So we was able to, within the course of 24 hours, get a whole bunch of us out there to basically call them out and tell them to leave. And you can see that video on YouTube. It's called The Klan's Longest Night in Philly, because it was June 21st.
That's great work. So,
that's incidentally, the Klan leader that started, that put that together, that was in 2010, I think it was. He was also in Charlottesville, and he's the one serving about 4 or 5 years in jail right now, because he figured it would be a good idea to pop off rounds at somebody there. So that gives you an idea of what we're dealing with here in Philly and in general, because he's actually from Maryland. But you got but you got a lot of groups that we was able to chase out of here, and they're all in Harrisburg now, or up in Northeast PA. But there's still trouble. You still have a lot of the so-called alt-right folks that are in town that are crying called grief. And we're going to try to do something about them as well. The Proud Boys, American Identity Movement, formerly Identity Europe, and so on. So, yeah, I'm here for you. We're all here for you if you're trying to fight this nonsense.
All right. I see the thank nice you. Man out in the hallway was just giving me the wrap-up signal that we have to wrap it up. But I want to thank you again for being here, Daryl. It was a great
thank
conversation.
You so much.
I have to sign off. Well, I have my tagline of, you know, we want you all to be activists, and to do that, the future's yours to create. Go out there and create it.
Right. Thank you.
Do you have a tag sign off line?
You're putting me on the spot.
I'm sorry, you don't have one yet. Well, next
I'll
time
just
up.
Say, see you in the streets.
Okay. And this is Brian Powers, and I want to remind you that police can quit their jobs. Thank you very much. Have a great night.
Thank you guys so much.